Welcome to the Private Practice Made Perfect podcast with me, Kathy Love. I'm a business coach who helps allied health professionals run powerful and profitable businesses in the disability sector. Join me for cutting-edge interviews with leaders in the allied health and business fields, along with plenty of practical content that you can use to make your business practice perfect. Hello, everybody. It is a minor miracle that I have remembered to hit record because Bernadette Dutton and I have already been in conversation for minutes uncovering all the gems in her private practice adventure. Welcome, Bernadette.
Hello.
Hello. I've been looking forward to this since our paths briefly crossed at an event last year. I've thought, yeah, I've got to get this story in. How about you kind of just explain a bit about the business and what it looks like at the moment? I do believe business owners introduce themselves the best.
Oh, thank you, Kathy. So I have been in, well, I'm close to 25 years experience as a speech pathologist. And, thank you. And I love it. I think it's a lot to learn still. And there's, you know, so many avenues you can go into in speech pathology. When I didn't start out in private practice. I've always done mainly tertiary hospital work, and I was working with pediatrics and adults initially for about 3 years, and then decided to pop overseas to the UK and worked in the area of adults, which was good because I was doing that pediatrics and adults, and decided that after 3 years I really needed to sort of show more interest in a particular area because I couldn't know everything. So it seemed to be that adults was my path, and I got into that area and just really enjoyed working in hospitals and got a real remit in the whole varied things from palliative care to aged care, head and neck cancer, radiation therapy. Came back to Australia, so I'm based in Queensland, Brisbane, and came back to Australia, did a little bit of hospital work, and someone just said to me, could you come and do some community work for us? And that was with one of the hospitals who did community home visits. And, oh, my goodness, I was so embarrassed that after 7 years of being an acute tertiary hospital speech pathologist, I'd never worked in the community. And it's an absolute gem of an area to go into where you really are working with people who are living with whatever it is, whether it be a swallowing or communication difficulty, that they are living in their homes or in their nursing homes with that condition, rather than that very sort of structured hospital environment where you're acutely rehabilitating someone or working, supporting them. And I was like, how come I didn't know this existed before? I knew it existed, but it was sort of like you would discharge someone from a hospital and go, someone magically would look after them. So that was fascinating. And someone said to me, oh, could you help me with looking after a nursing home that I can no longer support? So I started working in an aged care home and just realised that, wow, there was so much that we could offer in this setting, and it just grew. Education's a real passion of mine, and I was always doing a little bit of private work but also maintained that hospital work. And around about 2014, it just got so busy that I couldn't do it all, and I had three children at the time, and I still have those three children.
And the fourth child being the business.
The fourth child was born in 2014, being Loqui, which is Latin for to speak. And I basically employed our first staff member then, and she came on. She was really keen to help out, and it was wonderful because I love working in a team. I love working with other people. I find they bring me a lot of energy, and I also love that ability to learn and bounce ideas off each other and grow. So that was where it innately sort of grew, and just work came because we were helping people solve their problems, particularly in the aged care space. So we grew, and we had a team of, by the end of last year, we were a team of around about 32 speech pathologists nationally. So we've grown on that national footprint, working with a lot of nursing homes and collaboratively joined with a larger group. So we're now a multidisciplinary group, and we joined forces with a group that's now just recently rebranded, and we're known as Plena Healthcare. So I really liked that idea. We were with Plena, which is cool, is it's Latin for whole, and loqui is Latin for to speak. So now, and you can actually pronounce Plena much easily than loqui.
Two good choices. What do you, or how do you remember those first 2 years, 2 or 3 years of private practice?
One thing I very much remember was, so I had a business called Bernadette Dutton Speech Pathology and realized that we needed to employ. So I just set up the structure straight away then from that first staff member, set it up as a company. And employed. So that for me, what I remember vividly is one afternoon, it was around about 2 o'clock, and I was at a nursing home writing up notes. Now, when you walk as a speech pathologist, when you walk into an aged care home, it's like you have on your forehead, refer to me, I'm a speech pathologist.
Yes, ask me a question in the doorway.
Yep, definitely. Ask me a question. Let me know. I'm just leaving and you're going to ask me to see 4 more residents. Yep. So the work just was coming thick and fast. And I just had this vision. I thought, oh my goodness, in 5 years' time, I can't be doing this. I love helping. I did clinical education at the university as well. And I just thought, no, so many people want to do this stuff. I want to help them understand as clinicians as well. So I thought, that particular afternoon, I rang a friend, could you pick the kids up from school? And then by 5 o'clock, oh, my husband, can you please pick the kids up for my friends? And I don't think I walked in the door till 8 o'clock that night. And I just went, I can't do this long term. This is not sensible. And if I think, I laugh at myself, and you'll laugh too, because I know you give a lot of support to people. My invoices used to be done on Word.
So were mine. Luckily, a long time ago, mine as well. Yeah. And then
did you make
good
mistakes?
No, there's people. For sure.
I would go, I've just changed myself $20 because I saw, I didn't add it.
Yeah. What did I bill them last time?
Yeah, exactly. So, it just started to need to have a better record system and a way to add up automatically. Not that I'm not bad. I'm not bad with my maths. I did maths at university. So, I mean, it was just that what I remember is just a lot of things to navigate. And, I mean, it's changed. Yeah. The landscape's changed significantly. There is a lot of compliance now. There is a lot of due diligence and things you've got to be on top of. So and the landscape, we didn't even have NDIS at the time, but that's been a huge change as well.
Yeah. So you kind of hit the ground running, and you've had remarkable expansion from sort of zero to over 30. How did that fast track your leadership skills?
Oh, that's very kind. I have had been fortunate at times to be able to stop and reflect. And they have been generally when I've been out maybe exercising or away or at the dinner table. I'm sure my family, I mean, my 16-year-old helped me write a PowerPoint recently. I said, what does mum look for when she looks for a new team member to join the team? And he just sat there over coffee one morning and just listed about 20 things. So the things they take on as well. I look back in my situation. I've read a little bit, and I'm a bit of a situational leader. I work on the principles of skill and will, and that's the 1 Minute Manager book there that talks about that ability to, if someone doesn't have the will or the skill, you've got some set things you've got to work through. Certainly understanding whether that particular team member is right fit for your what your vision is and what your business is offering. as well as or rowing someone who, say, an early career speech pathologist that might, you know, that wonderful enthusiasm that they bring, they have absolutely high will and, you know, reduced skill as, you know, in comparison to perhaps yourself. And so just working on that, nurturing them and growing that. And I think that's the thing that really resonated as well, that we needed to get, I've got some great team people around me, like an awesome office manager. And really, if anything was a process that was repeatable, we would quickly get that into a policy or a process. So yeah. It was clear, yeah. Just getting clarity for the team. I think the thing for us, which our growth, which was exciting, is that we have a vision, and that is to really, really improve the lives of people, particularly living in aged care homes and in the community, for their swallowing and their communication. So we've always had that vision to make it really awesome for them. And that just drives us. That just kept driving us and providing that skill. And coming back to let's listen to the consumer. Let's listen to the customer, the client. What do they need and how can we offer them what they need? And I think in private practice, and about that ability for leadership, is that you can create opportunities, and then you're not so confined or restricted to, well, no, we don't do that this way. And you can experiment things or do some, you know, design. You know, I enjoy working with quality teams in the aged care world. So we're going, hey, we've thought of this idea. What do you think? And having their support. So a bit of buy-in from everyone. But yeah, I think I just love working with people, and I think humans are fascinating. And I think, you know, giving the best, I think finding out from each clinician a little bit about what interests them and where their growth is, and really just giving them those opportunities to follow their interests as well, makes them happier as well.
Yeah. I remember a conversation with our son and daughter, and it was our daughter in particular, who very proudly announced that she had, in fact, taught us everything we ever needed to know about parenting. And it was just such an interesting conversation, because when you put it in the business context, ultimately, when you're available, your team will teach you just about everything that you need to know about leadership. Whether you want to know it or not can be a little doubtful. But what are your thoughts on that, that your team will also teach you to lead?
Oh, absolutely. And I'm learning a lot as we go along. I think that the team do teach you, and that's that ability to listen. I think the growth, seeing people grow, is so rewarding. And obviously I've seen my children grow. I've now got two adult children and one who's 16. So I have seen their growth and their independence, and, you know, cutting the ties and, you know, not being so micromanaging, but, you know, seeing their growth and providing, look, can I give you some feedback on that, or how about this? And so just laying little seeds, and also for me as well, I need to learn sometimes to let go a little bit more too, and have a good succession plan as well, because, you know, we're all professionals, and we've all got good ideas on how to navigate it. So it's just taking in that opportunity for everyone to feel that they've been heard, which can be a challenge as well, you know, for business owners, because so many things happen so quickly. Interesting you say that about what was it like when I first started, and you sometimes think, oh, maybe I should do this with a partner. I should go into business with a partner and do it. But, you know, I can't tell you, actually, I think you probably would understand, and I'm sure people listening to this podcast would understand, how many times have you spent on weekends or late at night, or I remember when we hit the go for, we're about to change actually, but our platform, we were on Google Suite, and we hit the go live, and it seemed all right, but it wasn't until around, you know, 8 o'clock the next day that we realised, things weren't set into play, and it fell on myself and my husband to sort of navigate and force. Yeah. And there was, like, I think 3 days of no communication happening on our platform. So very stressful, And
holding my breath as you tell the story. That is not fun. That is the dark soul of the night.
That's right. And I mean, that was towards morning. But, you know, we've had many long nights or something's due or you've got a reviewer. Excuse me, I just put that, my light's coming through there. Or reviewer reviewing a contract that, you know, is needed tomorrow or needed yesterday. And you just have to just, you know, that's what the what ownership of a business takes. Some, you know, it's that takes the good with the bad or the dirty. As well.
Yeah, yeah. And it's such a cool reminder about how lonely business ownership can be. Mm-hmm. You can have the most vibrant, successful, impactful business that serves you beautifully, but it can be a lonely road at the same time. Do you ever wonder what happened if you had a business partner there?
Yes. I think things would have taken longer to make decisions. And I think you know, I think it would have, I'm a bit of, I would say I'm collaborative and I feel I'd be, you know, would be collaborative and make it, and like who makes the final decision and who holds that? Oh, well, you'd hate to get into that. I think it could impact a relationship. And I think it's been, I would say my business partner has been all along my husband, who has been, you know, a good listening board. And yes, and as well, we've had to have boundaries too on that relationship as well, to have that partnership.
The business date night.
Yeah, that's right, the business date night, exactly. Yeah. And the dinner table conversations as well. Sometimes you'd have to go, no, time out.
Yep, enough. Leave all of that fun stuff for somewhere else.
That's right.
Goodness me. So when you sort of first started private practice, the NDIS was just a little twinkle in someone's eye. Mm-hmm. How has it impacted your business?
Look, to be absolutely frank, it has had, we were doing community home visits and community supports here in Brisbane. The way it's impacted our business is it's been huge, if I can say it in one word.
And I was expecting to hear that. It's been huge.
Navigating it has been massive, getting, you know, your audits and understanding how it was going to be for the participant and yourself. And we still speak to support coordinators and participants, still not trying to navigate it. We say, oh, I can only empathise. It's hard enough for you to navigate it. We're navigating it too. And I just feel it's still got a long way to go to help particularly those who find it hard to get on the NDIS. And there's so much making heads and tail of what makes sense. It's very hard to navigate. You need some good support around you to navigate it. And, it's tough. It's tough. We've had to invest a lot in administrative support. That audit was required. It's taken a lot. I've spoken to other business owners, and it's all encompassing.
Yeah.
We actually at one stage wondered if we should go into it or not. You know, at one stage we thought, look, if we just, you know, what's our core business? We'll stay in the aged care sector and just have a couple of private, you know, community clients. And should we be fully registered so we can support NDIA registered participants? We looked at it closely and felt we had the skill set. We were doing that work.
Yeah.
But what it has done significantly, and as you would know, Kathy, the scope of emerging clinical practice areas that were not in existence, particularly from the age of 18 to 65, it's a huge area. You know, we've got some awesome stories of people who sadly had never had access to speech pathology as a young, you know, in whatever system they had, and they're 40 years old and finally get some access to some good speech therapy with some awesome outcomes, but terribly. So there's some great opportunities there for participants who can now access the NDIA for services and supports that they desperately need.
Yeah.
That drives us.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, it's quite remarkable. I'm quite staggered that I've seen this. Oh, look, I think revolution is perhaps not quite the right word in my professional lifetime. But I would agree completely that it's still got a ways to go. And sometimes I liken it to toddler. It's in its toddler phase. It's a bit irritable, a bit unpredictable, and it's falling over from time to time, and it gets a bit overtired and it just wants a biscuit and a cuddle on the couch. But I find it really interesting to sort of think, well, what's it going to look like in 10 years' time? You know, how robust will it be in 15 years' time?
Even today I said to our community team leader, I said, let's even imagine in 6 months' time, things will even be better. If I take myself back to this time last year, the knowledge we have a year, yep. It's significantly improved. And I hope I'll be in a better position in another 12 months' time to say, yeah, we're in a better position to navigate this.
Yeah, yeah. How did the audit kind of highlight or even strengthen some of your business practices?
I think everything's got to be rigorous and transparent and clear to an auditor. And yourself and the team. So it gives you that everything being really thorough. And look, maybe a little shout out to Speech Pathology Australia, because they have really helped significantly.
Amazing.
In the manuals and things you can use to support that application. So, and there's also those auditors, they're some of them. I remember when we were first looking at it going, ooh, what's this going to be? But they're there to help too. So they've had a lot more experience. Yep. When we were first thinking we had to get that audit, it was really not clear. I think there was very high prices at one stage. Remember that when there was very...
terrifying in that first year.
Yeah, and you're going, oh, I'm not going to do that. And then they were like, oh, hang on, we better review this. And I don't know what it is currently, but it is certainly was highlighted. Just so many people go, I'm not doing that. If I'm only a team of a few clinicians, I can't be, forking out, huge amounts.
Yeah. They changed the criteria, which was good. I personally don't think they quite looked through the right lens of company versus, well, the trading entity.
Yes,
and then when they switched it over to registration groups, that was helpful, but everyone was confused for six months anyway. So, yes,
exactly.
Yeah. I really salute those business owners that stride towards the audit. And I haven't heard yet that it wasn't a taxing but very positive and strengthening process. And a client said just very, very recently about the audit process, in that I'm paying the auditors to work with me to improve my business.
There you go. That's exactly right. Yeah, that's right.
That mental shift was what she needed to kind of get herself and her team and her clients over the line as well, and really flipped it over and turned it into a very positive experience. So
it's like a full-on roadworthy certificate for your business, your car.
Yeah, absolutely. But it also adds value. I think it adds value to the commercial value of your business as well, if you have done the work to pass those very respected standards. So. Yeah,
that's exactly right.
Yeah. So take us to that sort of moment when you thought, right, I'm just going to have a national business. What was in the water that day?
Well, it doesn't happen like that, like anything. It doesn't happen overnight, but,
Did it happen a bit accidentally?
It was the growth happened with one of the groups we were supporting. It just grew. We were doing a couple of nursing homes and then five nursing homes. And can you do a few more? And can you also do a couple in Sydney? And can you do it? It was like, we're not really in Sydney.
Ooh.
Yeah. So that was that bit. Then
where's my hand luggage?
Yeah. True. I have not been on a plane since January.
I know. Don't even talk about that. No.
Okay.
I'm in Melbourne. I'm not going to be on a plane for years.
I do feel for you. I just commend you for what you're doing, and shout out to all of those in Victoria who are doing it tough. So we all are feeling for you. And so that needed to put the feelers out. Is there someone in Sydney? You know, I knew how to work with a team and recruit in the Brisbane space, and it was then, oh, okay, we need someone in Sydney. So we just put a few feelers out. And, look, I don't know how long this will last for, but speech pathology is a pretty small industry at this stage. I know they're growing because we're seeing exponential growth and awesome opportunities for emerging and entering speech pathologists. So anyway, I was fortunate enough to, you know, put a few feelers out, and we employed our first speech pathologist in Sydney, who was absolutely awesome. And so it just started with that. It just to start, you know, getting that little bit of exposure. Look, and it might happen in schools, but the equivalent in aged care is people do, you know, stay in a job for a little while, as in the organisation staff, and then they might move to another organisation, and they go, look, we really like what you used to do for us here. Is there a chance you could do that here too? So you just get started to be invited or asked, could you come and help with this and that? And we did a lot of it. We do a lot of education, and that's really valued in the sector we're in. So that just sort of grew with that. And then where did we go to?
So Sydney, and then?
Well, Queensland, so parts of Queensland, and then Melbourne and Adelaide, and now in Perth.
Wow.
Yeah, so it just grows. But it's not.
Was this part of the initial vision?
No.
When did you become?
The vision has always been aged care really deserves speech pathologists coming in during the weekday. 9 to 5. Because you really work in collaboratively with the chef, the clinical manager, the facility management. You needed to be part of that team to make any inroads in improvement. So, you know, I was a speech pathologist who used to go into nursing homes 5 o'clock at night, do the mealtime assessments and make my recommendations, or pop in on a Saturday morning. But you realise that was making a recommendation, and here's the food and fluid consistency that they require, but it needed to make some changes. We needed to really
get into the systems.
And then entering in that aged care and palliative care and risk, they call it, or dignity of risk around eating and drinking and support. So, you know, that palliative care experience that I've brought was a perfect setting for that. So providing, you know, really making it, I believe, an awesome career path to be a speech pathologist in aged care.
Yeah. Have you taken a line of sort of intense strategy and this month we'll do this and then we'll bring on three more, or have you sort of sat back and let opportunity reveal itself?
There's been some times where I've set a little goal where I might say, look, we've got a few more nursing homes. Oh, maybe by the end of the year, let's try for this many or whatever. So I have had little goals I've set myself. And, I would say for your first opportunity, the first thing about that full on, you know, this is the next month and this is no. We've just, because there was just so much we could do, there was opportunities knocking, you know, in the fact that, hey, how about, because you get questions like, could you do a dysphagia screener at this site? And you're like, well, look, actually there's no validated screener for this setting, but how about we do a qualitative data set? Let's do some collaborative research into this. So we were looking a little bit more of the bigger picture with those organisations when they showed an appetite to be interested in that, or we would put that interest in or lay a few seeds.
Setting the scene for what was needed now and next.
That's right. And to be honest, it's just there purely listening to the customer has been our big thing, and providing them with the information and the knowledge. We do a lot of collaboration with the University of Queensland, and the student projects we've done has provided, you know, free resources for community that are out there. And we just want people to understand that you know, people with dysphagia really do need help, and we want to just enable them to help those residents. You know, we're not the answer. You guys are. We're just here to help, you know, support that.
Yeah. How did you all navigate COVID this year?
Well, it was very tricky, as you can only imagine. And particularly in that aged care setting, making sure we were providing safe care to residents and not being, you know, super spreaders either, you know, because we might
from site to site.
So we're not physiotherapists going in and having a designated, you know, site that we can go to Monday to Friday. That's one nursing home that we're with. We are a high risk, well, for a few reasons, we're a high risk for spreads for the aerosol generating procedures that we do and going to multiple sites. So we really, we were already doing telehealth for access to supports for swallowing assessments via telehealth. We've been doing that for about 3 years prior to COVID. About five of our clinicians were doing those. And then what it meant was, because there was going to be a reduction in work for on-site visits, we had a very hungry workforce keen to be upskilled in telehealth and swallowing assessments, which so we were having initially, say, everyone, I remember March 14, the day when you realise, holy moly, this is real.
Yep.
And we've got to get serious. So we had a very high attendance at our conference within the, I should say, you know, teleconference with the team on upskilling. We had to do some internal training, so for our clinicians, but we were also having to train our customers. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah, right.
Very, very busy, extremely busy. I'm finding some space and time in that time was very tricky. Going out and forcing myself to go for a walk was needed each day. I had to just get some space and outside. It was very hard, and the clinicians were very worried about job security, big time. You know, it's very worrying.
Yep.
So we've learned a lot about PPE. It just rolls off the tongue now. But
that old thing.
I know. I've been involved with Speech Pathology Australia on the committee. You know, they didn't even have a infection control policy. So that was developed. They had a project officer and we were part of the working party on that. So it's been long days. Fast year in a way. It's been very long.
Yeah, I know. So slow but yet so quick.
Yeah, yeah.
What are the positives that have come out of COVID for you and the business?
Okay, I can say that. Oh, one thing we did a lovely little thing where I got this inspiration from one of the kids' schools, was about what are the lessons, like how do you go through COVID, what have you learned, or how do I do my day, or what have I learned? We did this, like, you know, for example, Emma in Perth, how Emma's going, you know, coping through COVID, and we'd hear a little story about Emma and she'd answer four questions and we put it in a little bit of a profile and what she learned and what are her words of wisdom. So we really promoted that inward, like, you know, positivity. But my biggest mantra was, this will pass. And what I have learned of wisdom, never underestimate the power of people because they are strong.
Yeah.
This will pass. Of course, it has shown us how we can provide more than the telehealth services that we were providing can still be provided. The other thing that it has taught us significantly, and I'm sure you've heard this before, is just the importance of connection, how valuable that is, and reach out to one another. And I say this in my guest lectures that I've spoken to three of the universities here in Brisbane recently for exiting speech pathologists, and I said, reach out for each other, but also reach out to your whoever employs you, you know, because they're human too. So, you know, check in on them. So I have a beautiful team that would go, how are you, Bernadette? You know, and that was important too. So I think, you know, they've all done it tough, and we've got four clinicians in Melbourne that I feel for, and they are like, I feel for them, you know, on what they're having to do and the things they have to navigate.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they're probably some of the short ones. Like, I have done a lot of reflections. I've seen the benefits of breathing and meditation, and just taking a breath and being a bit kind to each other.
Yeah, yeah. There is light at the end of the Melbourne tunnel.
Yes, so,
that is exciting and well deserved. I completely agree.
Yes, yes.
So what's your role nowadays in the business? What does your week look like?
Oh, lots of operational logistics. Actually, one of the things we have done, and this I would not have seen this when Loqui first started, but what is really driving me is career progression for speech pathologists in community and aged care. So we've got three team leaders. Normally, we've got five, but two are just going. Two have gone on maternity leave. Just one's gone on maternity leave. We weren't about to go on maternity leave, and then that progression and upskilling and just the growth. We've got significant growth happening, Kathy, and just that clarity. You know, getting really more succinct and clear supervision and support processes and policies.
Yeah.
Just real clarity for the team. What is increasing now is we can have an opportunity to offer more permanent roles to the staff, and more consistency in work, and just that ability to do mentoring, supervision, just more formal processes that probably didn't exist when I first started in private practice. You know, most private practices were sole practitioners, and now you're seeing, I'm sure you see it in your supports, it's wonderful to see all these lovely businesses providing.
Growing up.
So real career progression in speech pathology, but lots of time there's a lot of, compliance things, just making sure everyone's got the right supports and able to answer questions and navigating their requirements for the community team to the home visiting speech pathology supports.
What does your team do brilliantly right now?
They're awesome at communicating. I'll tell you what they have done lately, this year particularly. There has been so much to learn this year. There has been, we've had a new software client practice management system. We're about to move to a new CRM. We have a slightly different, then we're going to move to a new timesheeting and scheduling. They've had to learn PPE. They've had lots of modules they've had to do on correct donning and doffing PPE. I think they're amazing that there's been rapid change this year, significant change. So they all need a bit of love at the moment, you know, because we would love to. Normally we get together at a national workshop, and that's something that we really love doing when we're with each other for a weekend and a full day's workshop. So that's tricky. We've had to have a few more online. So what my team does awesomely, look, driving to provide seriously quality good care to clinicians and listening to the customer.
Yeah. And what are your biggest achievements this year?
Last year I was the recipient of that award.
Share what that was.
Speech Pathologist of the Year at the Allied Health Awards, which was an honour to receive. One thing I'm terribly missing is our choir, our wellness choir. It started for people with Parkinson's, and it's for seniors and those who want to improve their singing or just enjoy singing. It's for anyone. We say, if you're coming to the choir and they come up to me and they say, oh, I can't sing, and you say that.
I'm not very good.
You're in the right place. I said, if you can sing, you go to Conservatorium of Music. That's what there's. So I'm missing that. But what do you achieved? Maintaining the staff. I think that's been a huge one.
Yeah.
I think I'm proud of that. It's been tough. But, you know, navigating that reduced work and then getting it up. And another silver lining with regards to aged care is that we've been able to really move a lot of people want speech pathologists now in a nursing home. Someone's got a swallowing problem, quick, we get the speech pathologist. There's a lot of knee-jerk stuff going on. But if you empower the people you're working with and you provide them with the supports, they've got some mechanisms in place to not have you knee-jerking and just being there at any moment. So we've always strived for a little bit more collaboration and working with the one clinician. But something that COVID has allowed us to do is to provide a little bit more. Let's think about, when should we come next? So that we are providing you, we can give you 100% of our attention because we have allocated that time, and plus we are reducing the risk and spread of COVID. So that's been a nice silver lining for the business to just get a little bit more clarity for the frequency of visits as well.
Yeah.
It's certainly a year that has taught us a lot.
Yes. Whether you signed up for that learning or not, you got it. You got it. Yeah. What do you think the future's got in mind for you?
For me?
Yeah, and the business.
I think, again, that striving for excellence in delivering excellent speech pathology services and providing clinicians with the right skill sets to providing those services to the clients that they need to see. We don't want to burn our clinicians out. We know that they are also very busy on the ground going around and navigating everything with, you know, particularly in the community. I'd say a lot of my focus is on the community sector at the moment and trying to really, there's just constant requests. Can you do this? Can you do this? Can you do this? And it's just being able to nurture everyone so they feel comfortable to be able to go and do that. The growth's so big that you could, go crazy, but you just still want to never lose that quality.
So, yeah, and that personal care and that individualization of every single participant.
Exactly, and listening to this choice and control, all about them. Just providing a safe place to work and clarity. Systems is what we really are probably the big focus at the moment, the right systems to support the team so that we've got logistics, and that's a huge learning curve there too.
Fun and games. How about you have the last word of wisdom? What would you love to share with other allied health business owners from your experience?
From my experience? Kathy, I didn't also mention, of course, I've had support from the team, but I have had some awesome business coaches in the process. Good. So I would say get support. You're not alone. But also remember, the big thing I say is if you've got a drive and a passion, you're unstoppable.
Oh, couldn't agree more. Don't even know what to follow that up with other than perhaps an enormous thank you.
Oh, you're welcome, Kathy. One thing, can I just add something that you've taught me?
Yeah.
You asked me at the Allied Health Awards, what is it about your team? Because we have a really great team and a very, very high retention of our staff. And I'm just so proud of the team. They're, you know, beautiful clinicians and they give so much and they do love flexibility. And I think that's something that we offer them too. And we offer that ability to grow and try things, or if they've got ideas, I'll follow, you know, try to, if we can, follow those passions as well. But you said to me, I said, when I do recruitment, and I could talk about this one for a long time, but and I often follow my gut, and you said to me, can you articulate your gut? And because it's more than in your gut.
Did I have a glass of wine in my hand? I think
you,
I might have.
You did. I've been able to articulate my gut, and I know I've got this like list. And as I'm doing interviews, I go, did they do this? Da, 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 and I have this little tick, 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 tick. And it's really helped. So thank you for your support, Kathy.
Oh, you are welcome. And a mentor that I sort of worked with at one point sort of said that gut instinct is this great big potpourri of potentially unexamined processes, and they might be conscious and unconscious, but there still is process that is meaningful just for us in this, it follow my gut. So well done you. That's really cool.
Well, thank you for your support. That's good. Well done you. And well done for you for everything you do and the wonderful podcast that you provide.
Oh, you are welcome. And now you are in it. You've got your own episode. So thank you so much for generously sharing up your time and wisdom this afternoon. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Bernadette. And, you know, let's just kind of have a part two in 2021 where we may be not kind of so COVID focused and getting the next installment.
Well, all the best.
Thank you. See you.
Okay. Bye.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode of the Private Practice Made Perfect podcast. For show notes and other resources, please visit practicemadeperfectpodcast.com. While you are there, you can subscribe for future episodes and continue your business adventure with me. And please be sure to share this and other episodes with your friends and colleagues. The Private Practice Made Perfect podcast is brought to you by Experts on Air Podcast Network.